Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of cleaning power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in the store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's the 1920s, and prohibition is the law of the land. Chicago gangs are at war, and mobsters are being executed in the street. And they're all played by children. We saw Bugsy Malone,
so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater.
Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Tall John Shear, and boy, oh boy, we got a movie for you today. Bugsy Malone, Scott Baio, Jodie Foster, both in their very early teens, and it's exactly what I just mentioned. It is a full-on gangster story done by children. I don't even want to reveal more than that because I think my co-hosts today are going to break down every part of this insane film with me with much glee. And we have a very special guest today. No June Diane Raphael, but we do have Mr. Jason Mantzoukas and Miss Jessica St. Clair, or I should say Mrs. Jessica St. Clair.
Ms.
Although I am married to myself.
Jessica, I am so excited that you are here for this one because I feel like your take on this is needed.
I'm curious, St. Clair, had you ever seen this movie or did you know about this movie by any chance?
So this is my thinking. I get the name Bugsy Malone. Okay. And I, of course, I don't Google it or to find it until the very last minute. And I think, hey, this is great. I love Warren Beatty. Yep. I can't wait to see this film.
I thought that might be the thing.
But I also thought that the Warren Beatty movie was Saving Jessica Rabbit. I have put both of those together.
Wait, I'm sorry. A movie called Saving Jessica Rabbit? Where Tom Hanks has to go behind enemy lines before D-Day in order to rescue Jessica Rabbit?
What's the name of it?
That's searching, the shirt. That
searching, for so many, searching
for Jessica searching. Rabbit. Searching where a young chess prodigy has to figure out
how to work
with Jessica Rabbit.
Who stole Jessica Rabbit?
Who is that stole what it is? Jessica Rabbit? Let's keep working on this. What else you got? Who stole Jessica Rabbit? What do you think the plot is? I guess somebody stole Jessica Rabbit. We got to find her.
Yes, somebody is in love with Jessica Rabbit. Wait, what is the movie? Well, and I know you have a picture of yourself with it. Don't you, Paul? Didn't you do a cutout? Don't you have a picture
yes, I do
of
have a
signed
picture. Yes,
as a
I
child?
Do have a, I do have a picture of myself with Jessica Rabbit from a movie.
What is
that? I'm not going to tell you the
Wait,
name
what
of.
Do you think the title of that movie is, though? Let's think about it for a second.
Jessica
Romancing the Jessica
all,
Rabbit.
Romancing? Is it? I'm in love
romancing
with
no, Jessica Rabbit.
Romancing the Stone. You're just taking other movie beginnings
but
and
she's
plugging
so close.
Who killed Jessica Rabbit?
Oh, you're
Ooh,
getting so much
now
closer.
Now we're getting somewhere. Who and killed Jessica
who
Rabbit?
Who kissed Jessica Rabbit?
Who kissed Jessica Stein?
Never been kissed Jessica Rabbit style.
Never been
Guys,
kissed Jessica
that's
Rabbit.
That's not what this movie is about. This is why I come on and people are like, she never talked about the actual movie. I watched this fucking awful movie, but
oh
I,
my God.
In my mind, I had put all of those movies together. Warren Beatty as a gangster and
I'm so much more excited though that you thought that's what you were getting, and instead you got the insano fever dream that is this movie.
I mean, so upset when I saw what this was, because
the movie you were trying to think of, St. Clair, is Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Roger Rabbit.
You're right. Jessica Rabbit is a character.
It.
Yes. That
well,
is the Kathleen Turner femme fatale.
They wouldn't put the woman in the title because that was a different time. But well, that, okay. Yes.
Ed, I mean,
but,
also, is it not, she's not the crux of the story, but sure.
I mean, like,
also,
she was not framed.
Also, it's so fucked up people wanted to fuck a cartoon yes. rabbit. That's not right.
No, I'm sorry. Jessica, she's not a rabbit.
Yeah, she is.
No, she's a human.
She's a human being. She's a cartoon.
Yeah, she was married to Roger Rabbit.
Married name.
I thought she had long.
She's a kind of a Marilyn stand-in. Like she's
can somebody put a picture of Jessica Rabbit in the chat, please?
Yeah. I mean, not that Jess will know how to open the chat as we're running.
Kathleen Turner voices her. She's like a Marilyn Monroe-esque, like bombshell lounge singer.
And she's fucking
character.
A rabbit. She's fucking. Well,
she's married to a rabbit. I mean,
well,
you can
up.
Assume they fuck, but why? They're in love. They're in love. Let's not shame them for their love.
Yeah, I mean, that's cartoon
that's
world
all fucked
logic,
up, guys.
You know.
Okay, well, it's a little less disgusting that. She's a sexy woman, but still, she shouldn't be. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But okay. She's very
now,
good
do you
looking.
See why, do you see why maybe young boys at that era were like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
But that's a lot less weird than if that was a rabbit. I thought she had rabbit ears.
That's
that
what
red
I'm saying.
Hair,
she's not a rabbit. Yes.
Not
yes,
a rabbit.
That's fine.
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Hashtag not a rabbit.
Okay.
And it's okay to be, you know, sexually attracted to cartoon characters, whatever, you know, whatever gets you there.
I guess.
So you
that's
discovered
what I thought
this.
I was getting. That's okay. What I thought I was getting. And then I saw like Scott Baio and I was like, wait, hold on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. And then I saw because when I saw Jodie Foster, I was like, okay, she was in Bugsy with Warren Beatty. That makes sense.
Even up until that point, you thought you were what? Because I get it. Again, just to be clear, the Warren Beatty movie, you are right, is called Bugsy. So that mistake, I 100% can understand.
And then I thought that Scott Baio was possibly playing a young Warren Beatty, and we were seeing kind of him
flashback.
Starting out his gangster days as a young
kid. Baby Bugsy.
And you
baby
thought
Bugsy. Baby Bugsy.
Hashtag okay, well, baby Bugsy for life.
I do want to just maybe step back. I want to step back because before we see Scott Baio, we see a brutal execution. And I will say this movie, every time they kill a child,
It's so upsetting.
It is.
It's with cream pies.
Yes.
Yes.
And the kids are always visibly alive?
They're not, though, because they are not alive. Like, once they get hit with the cream pie, they cease to exist in the film. Like, they cease to exist.
It's as if they're out, you know, in a game of tag or something. But they don't die. They still are, like, you know, the kid who gets shot with the cream or the splurge guns at the beginning, he's still blinking and kind of like, oh, you got me. But he's not like,
oh, no,
R.I.P.
I assumed he was dead. I assumed, like, that
too.
In this world, being cream pied is getting dead, except for the end when everybody is like,
it's a food
cream pied, and then everyone comes back
to life. I really think we got
to
stop saying cream pied. I'm going to be honest here. We gotta stop saying cream pie only because I don't think St. Clair knows the other definition.
Well, I mean, look, this movie is very dangerous with the terms.
Bad. Here's what's crazy. And I'm about to say something that is maybe the most controversial thing I've ever said on this podcast. Alan Parker made this movie.
Yes.
Alan Parker made Mississippi is Burning. He made Mississippi Burning, rather. The Commitments, Birdie, Fame. He's like a very well-known director. This movie, I'm going to say, is as insane and batshit crazy as it is well made.
No, that's, it's like what a are you good, talking about?
It is okay. Well shot. There are long oners in this movie that are interesting when you're wandering through. Like, it is shot like the gangster movies of the 30s and 40s that it is trying to ape in a way that I found there is no coverage. There's very little close-ups. It's all done in mediums and wide shots, especially to accommodate dance numbers with teenagers that are lip syncing. I was like, this should be so much more of a disaster than
Well, okay, but here's what I'll say, because I don't disagree with what you're saying in as far as like the direction of it is good, but the acting of it is.
And that's on the director.
Bananas.
Because guess what?
It's crazy.
Because I felt like I was in a junior high school, auditorium in Westchester, New York, watching, you know, again, these are kids that have been sent away to theater camp. Okay. So they've had the access to, you know, French Woods, you know, they're able to go and work on their craft, but they do not have the talent. Jodie Foster steps on screen, she lights it up. Every time she's in you see it.
She's barely in the movie. Kids like that. I think there's a couple of kids who are doing who are incredibly charismatic to look at. The kid who's playing Fat Sam. Fat Sam, I think, is doing great work. He's basically, the movie is essentially a kid version of Miller's Crossing.
Yeah,
and
sure.
he's John Polito. You know, like, it is so funny to me. It's Once Upon a Time in America. It's Miller's Crossing. It's Scarface. They're biting off of such interesting stuff, even though I know this movie came before some of those other movies. They're doing such an interesting job in aping those kind of movies and making, like, the cars or bikes. Everything is built to scale,
which
was really funny. Yeah. They're doing prohibition jokes, but instead about like sarsaparilla and sure. stuff like that. I was like, I'm enjoying, because I'd never seen this movie.
Yeah, I've saw heard it about a lot it. As a kid. When I was a kid, okay, this was on HBO all the time, and I don't remember a single thing about it, but I remember loving it because it was kids all in the movie. Like, to me, that was like the thing that was like, wow, it's a movie full of
that
kids.
Is interesting. But here's the deal, like, for instance, and I say this with love to Fat Sam, he was doing too much hand work, much gesturing. I feel like the right director could have massaged that. Okay, I worked with Fred Savage, shot the entire first season of Best Friends Forever. And if you want to see a guy working with children, okay, and getting the best nuanced performance out of him, that's Fred, because he used to be.
Right,
you know,
he knows. He knows. Was, Alan Parker doesn't know how to do that. I want to play a clip of Fat Sal's intro because... or Fat Sam.
He has raw talent. Fat Sal, I'm not saying he doesn't have raw
turtles,
talent.
Is Turtles Sandwich Shop,
Fat Sal's is a very good sandwich shop. I like it a lot.
What have you got to say for yourselves, you bunch of dummies? Call yourselves hoodlums? You disgrace to your profession, you hear me? Disgrace. And most of all, disgrace to me. Fat Sam. And we all know who's behind this, don't we?
Sure do, boss.
Don't need a head full of brains to know that. Do you?
Certainly not, boss.
So who is it, you dummies? Tell me.
Who?
Don't dare mention that name in the song.
Hey, take it easy.
Here's what I'll say. If you are not enjoying this movie, the thing that I loved watching, to Jessica's point, was the overacting in the background. I mean, these kids were doing, like... head turns.
They're trying their best.
They're doing so much. There's so much. And the level of acting between them is so scattershot because the kid who plays like Dapper Dan, I love the way he held himself.
Incredible.
Really
composed. He's like Andy Garcia. Didn't you feel like he had a really subtle, like,
okay,
I felt like that guy had a backstory.
Yes. There's nothing better in this movie than little kids with little mustaches.
I mean,
it was making every time it made me laugh.
I wanted a little kid with a bald spot, too. I wanted
that would have been amazing. That would have been amazing. Everything, the cops were amazing. Like, here's the thing. What I felt like was really cool was they had clearly, these kids had clearly been shown all of the movies that they were aping. And they fucking go
for it. They committed.
They
committed 100%.
They go for it.
Because a Jodie Foster.
You're right. They're not all good at it, but they're all going for it.
Well, like some are affecting a voice and a cadence. Others simply are not. And when you see somebody like Jodie Foster, and again, it just shows you like pure star power. She is the whole deal. Like more
You can't take
of
your eyes
her.
Off her.
No.
She is as good as a child as she was as she is as an adult. I really like
she's also doing that thing where she's playing like the Marcia Gay Harden role in Miller's Crossing, where she's the kind of not quite the femme fatale, but she is like she's the girlfriend of Fat Sam, or you know, but she loves Bugsy Malone and all this kind of stuff. And she's communicating all of that inside of them being 13 years old. All of the complexity of that type of a emotional journey is inside of a performance by children inside of a children's movie that is mostly a food fight.
I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie cutter places, and I went on Airbnb and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly, 21 plus. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, that combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter. I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry because I love these. Jodie Foster shot Taxi Driver before this movie. So she's coming in from Taxi Driver to this.
Yeah. Yeah. And bringing, by the way, but good lesson. All the actors out there. You can be in the craziest fucking shit, but if you deliver this kind of nuanced performance, it leaps off the screen. Except for when she was forced to lip sync to an adult woman singing.
All of the singing.
I had no idea this was a musical.
And the musical numbers, to be clear, are all sung by adult voices, which is bizarre.
Primarily, they're sung by Paul Williams, which is a very weird. I want to play a clip of Jodie Foster.
Who's Paul Williams?
Paul Williams is the one who sings the opening song, but he's kind of like a known.
He's like a 70s era songwriter who was also like a frequent like talk show and game show guest. You probably will recognize him as like a personality of the 70s.
Like Hollywood Squares. But why was he did not more than one song? He pretty much does all the
songs that are not women. And that's why, like, even when that little kid who's like wants to be the tap dancer
that's
is singing,
the craziest voice coming out of that kid I've ever heard.
The biggest heartbreak for me in this movie was that I thought that kid was going to get his own tap dance
number.
Me too,
yeah.
And he never did. Give this kid some room to tap. I assumed he was going to like have like his third act kind of finally gets to do his thing. And he never did. And that really bummed me out. That was my one note. Everything else I loved.
By the way, that kid is brutally murdered. That kid is brutally murdered. He runs
to
hide. They all are.
No, if you go by the rule that if you get cream pied, you die, then everybody is dead.
Well, that's why I thought that there was something really sweet about him running into that broom closet. And you're like, oh, at least the tap dance kid gets to like save the day. Like he's going to live and then maybe he'll tap dance on all their graves. But no, he opens the door. And then, because these kids get
right
face shots. I mean, they are getting shots.
Yes. Yeah. I kept thinking to myself, like, even in a mafia movie, you don't see somebody's face.
Everybody's getting face shots and cream.
I mean, I'm surprised there was no dirt pipe milkshakes in here.
But here's the thing. This movie, I'm not even kidding. This movie, there are sections of this movie that are long tracking runners. Like, remember the one where the news report goes out and it tracks horizontally along a series of phone banks and people in different languages are reporting. Kids from different countries are reporting the same news. That could be from a Wes Anderson movie. Like, you could tell me.
It's beautifully done.
If you said right now, did you hear Wes Anderson is making a movie, a gangster movie from the 30s with all children? I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, this at times feels like that.
We interrupt your commentary on tonight's exciting ball game to bring you a further bulletin of developments in the latest outbreak of hoodlum gang warfare. Police now officially state that the new weapon of devious foreign manufacture known as the splurge gun is now being widely used by the mobster gangs. We interrupt our interruption to go straight over to our reporter, Seymour Scoop.
Here in New York, for him, for state of the es dreht sich alles
It feels like Isle of Dogs. You're right. It has like a feeling where it's like it's an experiment in something, because I will say
I want to agree with everybody. It doesn't work. I'm not saying it's good.
Yes.
But there's something about it that's very watchable.
And effective. You know?
That's like true.
Like, when they went to go murder that one kid at the mansion and they all come with like the cream pies in their hand,
well, no,
not in the gun.
That's the most disturbing scene of the entire movie.
I took my breath away.
Like, this is the scariest thing I've ever seen.
To see like four kids crowding around one kid with a bunch of cream pies. And and that's to your point, Jason, about the direction. It's like, you've made this scene with cream pies feel like...
Oh, yeah.
Scary.
Oh, yeah. And it's because he dropped his gun?
Yes.
Right?
Oh, it's because he dropped his gun.
What did I do, boss?
The pushing on his face. That's what it was. It was like seeing the abject terror.
But they play that whole thing out in one. Like, what's crazy about it is it's really subtle in here, but there's a lot of like 1 minute takes that are being executed
by
14 year olds or 30. I don't know how old they are actually.
No, about
but, like,
12 and 14.
They're executing takes that I'm as an adult on sets watching adults not be able to do long takes. And these kids are incorporating lip syncing, dancing. Watch it again for a few minutes a 45 second uninterrupted moment of choreography. These kids fucking nailed.
They do nail it.
They're not incredible, but they're still doing it in a way that I was like, this is nuts. Because I was expecting this, having only heard about it and never seen it.
Yeah.
I was expecting this to be just terrible.
Can I tell you who the weakest link in this whole thing is? I think Scott Baio. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Only because he's supposed to be so charismatic, you know, and so much the kind of Gabriel Byrne in Miller's Crossing or a Humphrey Bogart type character, the anti-hero of the gangster movie, you know.
I think he had a charm, and now part of this is being filtered through I was so hot for him in Charles in Charge.
Did you like the first family or the second family? I love the first family.
I like the one who where the girl went on to Baywatch, Summer.
Okay, Nicole Eggert. That's the second family, yeah.
That's the second family. I don't remember the first family.
I missed out on Charles in Charge.
Really?
I think I was too old. I think that I think the slight age difference between me and you guys is Charles in Charge.
Okay, absolutely. Because that was you know? A big show. I mean, Willie Ames, Nicole, I mean, it was like, I love that show.
Nicole Eggert, she's the most beautiful woman.
See, Willie
in the world.
Ames, I know from Eight is Enough.
Okay.
And eight, yes, you're
that's
an old
a little
man.
Bit before me. Yeah, that I don't. That's I didn't really see Eight is Enough.
Yeah,
I never saw
that.
That.
So that's it. That's the difference then.
I think Scott Baio has a charm, but I think, and listen, this feels terrible to heap this kind of judgment on a child, but I feel like who he was playing opposite, Blousy Brown.
I mean, Blousy Brown should have been Jody, right? I mean,
well, that was the thing. I think we didn't need the Blousy character. I think the Jody character, kind of like Marcia Gay Harden in Miller's Crossing, should be between Bugsy and Fat Sam. Like, I think she should be the lead, but in the role she's currently doing, not like the new girl in town, like Blousy is. I think that the story should be inside of the gang world rather than having an outside character
who just wants to move
singer.
To Hollywood and be a singer, but she doesn't seem to, like, we don't really get to see her talent. Like, Tallulah has that amazing song, but we, like, oh, by the way, when she auditions in that first moment, I laughed so hard when she gets up to stage and they're like, okay, sing, and she's just about to sing, and then all of a sudden that little girl comes and is like,
she's got star power. She's got star power.
That girl was so funny. See, that's where I was like, this is funny, and
I
want more
Jason,
of this. I want more of that character. I wanted more of, like, they cast some kids that were, again, they're giving enormous performances.
Yes,
but much to your point, St. Clair, there's a version of going to see like a or considering seeing like a school play as like, oh boy. But there's also a version of it that's like, oh, this is so wonderful. There's something so compelling about these kids just going so hard for it. The same way that Wes Anderson, that Rushmore feels like when they do the plays, that's what this felt like to me.
Felt like getting stoned and going to your local like high school to watch like Anything Goes. Like, and they, when they're
again, I am no longer allowed to do in LA County.
I was uncomfortable with Jody being forced to, like, and maybe she was uncomfortable. That was the only moment I didn't feel like Jody could fully lose herself, which is she knew that an adult man's voice was coming out of her mouth. It felt like, I don't know. And then she had to go and like take a kid's glasses off, you know, and it was just like, I would have been mortified as a child.
Yeah, it just it feels
that.
I mean, look, she just came off a Taxi Driver, so I don't know if she has like, if she's carrying that much of like, but
holy shit, yeah,
but
exactly.
But,
oh my god, what a 1-2 punch to go from Taxi Driver.
Could have destroyed
to
her career. It could have
must
destroyed
have been
her career.
Oh my god.
It must have been a wild year for her.
It must have been her team actually going like, you know what, we don't know what the fuck is going to happen with Taxi Driver. Like, get, like,
sure,
like, you know, like, get
let's
in this kids movie.
Yeah, let's do
another
something
kid,
innocent.
Do a kids movie. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, I do want to play a clip of Bugsy Malone and Jodie Foster flirting, because it is just gives you a little taste of what it is.
Yeah.
You know, your ace is Bugsy. I've always found you kind of special.
Careful. You're racing my motor.
Oh, come on, Bugsy. Give a girl a break.
Are you sure you got the right fella?
You're not like all those other saps.
No?
No. You've got lovely brown eyes.
There'll be lovely black eyes if Fat Sam catches us.
How about smearing my lipstick?
Careful, Tallulah. You come any closer, I have to call my lawyer.
Because I thought they had great, that's my point. I think Scott, off of Jody, and again, she's elevating everybody.
Yes.
I think they,
like Joni elevated Chachi.
Oh my God.
That's right.
Jody elevated Chachi and Joni.
Okay.
There is something about this movie that I was really thinking about. We talked about the splooge guns or the splurge guns, which that give you the cream pies. The What were they doing before was my big question. Like,
they were just throwing pies.
Before the guns.
That's the... So Fat Sam's crew is at a disadvantage because they don't have these new guns. And these guns, for those who haven't watched the movie, look like Tommy guns. But instead of firing bullets, they fire like, you know, a handful
shots of cream pie.
Yeah. Or whipped cream, rather. Yes. So, and that is meant to be the bullets that they are raining down on the bad guys. And what's happened is Dapper Dan, again, Dapper Dan's introduction shot is a one-er, and it starts on a girl doing a puzzle, okay?
Yes.
It widens out to include, like, the room with people in it. It widens out to reveal that Dapper Dan is in a barber chair getting his
my God.
I was like, this is a great character introduction shot for a child who has a mustache. Like, what is happening?
By the way,
in
I bought
movie?
The mustache. I believe the mustache.
Yes.
Like, that's like,
some
by the way, it was
the mustaches
done the right way.
Were drawn on, but some, I believe, these guys were maybe able to grow a little something. Do you
some
think?
Some seem to be.
And they kind of colored it in a little bit, like when you're losing your hair on
set.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think some of them did. I agree with Jess. Some of them seemed real, if not just very good fakes, because they were, a couple of them looked very good.
Yeah.
Do you think that this was a hormonal, like, crazy, I kind of imagine.
Oh, interesting.
I kind of imagine, only because I knew somebody who was an extra on Pirates of the Caribbean, and they said that it was a nonstop fuck fest. It was a Caribbean fuck fest. So, like, after
Are all adults, though.
Exactly. After they yelled cut, it was just like everybody.
A bacchanal.
Everybody getting it each way. Now, these kids are only 12 or 13, but I imagined it like, so when you go. But what I'm saying is, remember when you would go to like your Washington, D.C., like overnight,
They put tape on the door. That's what we would do on our hotel room so you couldn't get out.
Sure.
Did I tell you that I ran?
No.
Okay. So
this
when
is not good.
No, this is but actually, this
I,
is actually
I can't
better.
Wait to see where this is going. Okay.
So when on our Washington, D.C. trip, I decided that I would run a movie theater in my room, and I rented a movie, an R-rated movie, and I charged kids $5 a head to come into my hotel room.
So smart.
Paul, if this was the gold rush, I always say, Paul is not one of the assholes, like, panning for gold. He's the one setting up that motherfucking general store and then collecting.
Yeah.
It was a great movie. And then they had to clear us all out. But it was like, kids got to see an R movie. I got a bunch of money.
How much money did you make?
I mean, I don't remember it offhand, but every kid was giving me $5 as they came into the room. So,
do you remember what movie you screened?
It was Beverly Hills Cop 2.
So good.
Yeah, it was a great day.
I 100% would have done that.
Yeah.
Did your dad?
Paid for it. Yeah.
Did your dad help you procure the film? Was he involved
in the setup? No, it was hotel pay-per-view.
Oh, I see.
So I clicked hotel pay-per-view.
Even better.
Yeah, and then I was like,
anybody could have done it. You just hosted.
Yeah, that's all I did.
That's Paul Scheer.
I'm picturing you traveling to DC with a VCR in your suitcase.
No. I mean, by the way, at a certain point, I did do things like that. I had to have that VCR with me. Come on.
But you know what I love too, Paul, is at that age, most people are like, okay, how can I like go to second base with somebody? Like, I'm in a hotel, and all you're thinking about is how can I like turn a profit?
But by the way, it was about creating a party. It was creating a party atmosphere too. Like, I created a party and then I also made some money off of it too. Like, it was a few things at play, you know?
Oh my God.
Because no one was going to give us any grief before bedtime. If
did
we
you
all
let
in the same room.
Kids from other schools in, or was it just
your
friends?
It was only, I mean, I only knew our school as being in Washington, D.C. So, like we were on our hotel floor, and that was it.
I didn't know if it got around, and it was like, ooh, no, there's kids from other schools.
Oh, no. I that was only our room. And then I also was one of the only kids to figure out that the connecting doors did not fall under the like the tape.
So you could get to each other like a Warren of Rabbits.
At least two rooms.
Like a Warren of Rabbits.
Yeah, like Watership Down.
Yeah.
But anyway, exactly. I imagine that this was a blast for these kids to shoot, is what I imagine. Because normally you're the only kid actor and like you've got rules.
Right.
And
so these are all kids and they're probably shooting quick days.
I also thought what was very interesting was the kids all did look old timey.
They did a good job
making them all look not at all contemporary. Like they looked old timey in a very funny way. I enjoyed that they built to scale old like 30s era like cars around bike. Like Flintstone style around bike pedals. Every time there was a car chase or whatever, it's kids jumping into old, you know, T model or Ford Model Ts or whatever, but they are pedaling bikes. And everything is to their scale. And they go out into the woods, just like Miller's Crossing. They go out into the woods to kill somebody, to have a showdown, and they bring their bike cars all out into. I was like, this is
the bike cars could go up to 10 miles an hour, and it seemed like they were having so much fun. My favorite moment of business, and again, watching this movie for the business in the background is way more appealing. Like when one of the people gets out of the like limo cars, like the driver immediately gets out, takes out like a little rag and starts like wiping down the car.
That's genius.
By the way, I do want to just tell you a couple things about these kids. I just found it out. Their average age was 12. There were six teachers that were all running the school, and actually one of the teachers wrote a paper about it. Her name was Lynn Simon, and apparently a bunch of people wrote papers on this movie because a chief local welfare officer visited the set every day to check and inspect the correct procedures were being adhered to, and also wrote a paper. Scott Baio didn't want to do the movie, but they cast him anyway. But they said that the official paperwork to allow the children to work on the movie was mountainous. Every child actor had to have an individual medical exam and a work permit. More than 33 English councils were involved, as well as bureaucracy in New York and Los Angeles. So, and there was like a whole rivalry between the UK kids and the UK kids. And like, so this is like a lot of,
was this shot in
London? In Pinewood. Yeah.
It was?
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. Wait, so some of these kids are doing American accents?
Yes.
From 30s era American accents? Mm-hmm. Okay, now you're straight up blowing my mind.
Yeah. I don't want to take anything away from our love of Dapper Dan, because I do believe he is like existing in a very, very detailed backstory, and he has all that work, character work done. But his accent was a little here and there. It was kind of like
I thought Dapper Dan was
one of the best because he was playing it down.
Like I thought Dapper Dan
was like Italian at first, from Sicily.
Oh.
I thought Dapper Dan was.
Can we drop? He was London. Paul, Dapper Dan's speech at the end of the movie to his men when they're about to enter Fat Sam's. He gives his men a speech that is so good. Let's put that in.
It's very good.
Right, gang. I don't have to tell you how important this is to me. This is the caper that's going to take the lid off of City Hall. This is the big one.
The big one.
The shakedown.
The shakedown.
The payoff.
The payoff.
And I tell you, it's got to be good. It's got to be neat. And it's got to be quick.
It's got to be good. It's
got to
be neat.
Quick repeating everything I say, will ya? You shouldn't have any trouble. Just Fat Sam and a few dance hall girls. Okay, good luck and off we go.
I also love the scene where Fat Sam's crew is sneaking up on people and they're all crouched down hiding, and they do that long tracking shot against like get babyface, and they go all the way down to get babyface, and he goes, hey, wait a minute, I'm babyface, and he's like a little kid.
And then the kid goes, now I'm a movie star.
Yeah.
And like the kid says, I'm a movie star. And then there's a couple moments in this movie that are meta, like that I thought was so funny, because at one point Fat Sam says like, read the subtitles, and the kid's like, ah, that's better. Like, I'm like, there are moments that are
the only time that happens. That's
there's a couple of other ones.
Yeah, the little moments.
There's a couple of little ones. Yeah.
Because I thought when he was saying, I'm going to be a movie star, it's because it's his baby face's time to shine. Like, everyone's going to, all eyes on him. I didn't think he was talking about the movie.
And all he had, he does, all Babyface does is sneak up and hit somebody with a baseball bat.
And then
like,
runs.
It's not, like, he's like, he's allowed to approach because he's Babyface. He just hides, then runs out and hits someone with a baseball bat.
They didn't need Babyface for this job unless he's so fast.
Nope.
But then they have like 15 guys locking a door. Like they're all like, we closed the door. We locked them in. And then they get those splurge guns, which, I want a splurge gun. I mean, when Knuckles dies from the makeshift.
I think you have one.
I think every man is
born with a splurge gun.
Well, when Knuckles dies from his own splurging, that really made me sad. Self-splurge.
But again, like Fat Sam being so sad that Knuckles, that he led to his own best friend's demise was very, and the shot from above of Fat Sam going, can somebody help me? You know, and nobody's there. Like he's done this.
He's lost his whole crew. And Knuckles was the last one.
By the way, just to talk about this splurge gun, I know I have a lot of like weird facts about this, but this is amazing. And Nate Kiley found a lot of great stuff here. They were trying so hard to figure out how to shoot a gun, like how to shoot kids, and they couldn't really do it. So they had these wax balls filled with cream, but they hurt people when they were fired. So like, I guess he tried it out on this 300-pound man, and they fired him. It hit him in the forehead, knocking him off his feet and leaving a huge red mark due to the velocity of it. So the kids were never hit with anything.
It's like you see kids shooting and then you see kids getting hit by something, but not in the same shot.
They could never figure out how to fire projectiles that would hit children on screen.
It's really, I mean, the movie is I'm going to jump ahead to where you, because you ask us this at the end of every episode, Paul, would you recommend this? Absolutely, you have to watch this.
It's a piece of like American culture.
It's a fever dream.
That's right.
This is a fever dream of a movie. This is absolute insanity. This is the commitment to detail and it's the tension created by the commitment to detail of making the best possible homage to 1930s gangster movies, but the restrictions that it comes against by casting all 12-year-olds is just hysterical and incredible.
Well, and
it's really amazing.
I really want to, like, I guess I'm thinking about this now and I go, what you said, Jason, about Wes Anderson. Like, if Wes Anderson made this right now, it would be a
huge
critical darling.
It would be it would win the Palme d'Or.
And you know what? And the truth is like, this is like Alan, you know, like this director, we said like he's
Alan Parker.
Parker, Fame, Midnight Express, Pink Floyd, The Wall, you know, Angel Heart, Mississippi Burning. Like
Angel Heart. Keep in mind, this is a man who makes one of like the most sexual erotic thrillers of the 80s.
An X-rated movie. I mean, but like there is something about him where you're like, if anyone was going to pull this off, it would be him. Like, he has
And guys, I would argue he did. From what we're saying, he did pull it off.
And you know what?
Pulled it off.
And to Jessica, to your point, Blousey was recast because she got too tall. So that girl was not the original Blousey.
No disrespect. To who played Blousey. I'm sure if she stayed in the business, I'm sure she developed into a perfectly wonderful actor.
I'm going to find out right now.
A lot of kid actors are being pushed into this against their will, mind you.
Yeah.
You know,
It's also a very tough thing. This isn't just a performance. This is like a period performance with singing and a lot of intense choreography. And this was a lot. You know, this was a lot. That's kind of what I'm saying. This was a lot for all of them. Not to call anybody out, but all of these actors are coming up against restrictions that are the difficulty of what exactly they're are being asked to do, which is quite a bit, frankly, you know,
it's a
from
lot.
Dance numbers to singing to period specific dialogue and kind of like the cadence and the rat-a-tat-tat, you know, and on the homage to the characters that they're all kind of portraying versions of from that era. You know, there's a lot going on here. And I think a lot of these kids acquit themselves really well. I don't know. I'm just in the bag for this movie because I think
really are.
Because
you're
I thought because I'd heard so much about it, I think I thought it was going to be so much worse that as it was going, I was like, oh, this is actually fun. Wait a minute. This is actually well made. I got more into it than I thought I was going to be. So maybe that's why I'm liking it more. But yeah, like I got such a kick out of like the trope of like I called in Fat Sam being like, I called in Chicago's greatest hitman, blah, 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 Looney Bergonzi. And then Looney shows up and is immediately killed and he won't stop getting hit. And Bugsy Malone is like, Looney, what are you doing? And Looney's just standing there and he just keeps getting hit with cream pie after cream pie after cream pie. So funny.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Today's episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Well, guess what, people? This is the deal for you. It's Philo. Philo's got movies, it's got shows, and it's got live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Philo has unlimited DVR for 1 year, so you can save all of your favorite shows and you can watch them on your own schedule. That's right. It also allows for multiple profiles and multiple streams. That's right. Mom can be in the kitchen, dad can be out in the man cave, and sister Tina can be in her own room. Never miss a minute of shows because there's no better way to watch TV when Philo has more than 70 channels like ID, Lifetime, and MTV. So try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/bonkers. That's philo.tv/bonkers to get 50% off your first month. I love Quince. Why do I love Quince? Well, maybe you should ask my 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater that I got for $50. Or maybe you want to talk to my washable silk top or some of my 14-karat jewelry. Well, you're wasting your time because they can't talk, but I can talk for them and say that Quince is the best because all their items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. How do they do it? Well, they partner with the top factories. They cut out the middleman, okay? And they pass the savings on to you. I love this wool Quince hat I have, but I also love my Quince quarter zip Mongolian cashmere sweater. It is truly one of my wife's favorite outfits. And when your wife likes one of your outfits, you know that you've done right. Anyway, indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/bonkers for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/bonkers to get free shipping and 365-day returns. That's right. quince.com/bonkers.
I gotta tell you, I'm on a page right now to say where are they now, the cast. It's a real mixed bag. I'll just quickly tell you that Blousy decided she did not want to do acting professionally.
That makes sense.
She became a medical administrator and served in several Air Force bases. She left the military in 2001 and now she's an eye doctor.
Blousy.
Yeah,
now she's an eye doctor. That's
Fat
right.
Sam,
exactly.
Fat Sam appeared in the sitcom Fish, which I believe is a spinoff of Barney Miller. He stopped acting and he moved into the construction business. And then he
Abe Vigoda's character.
Yes. And then he was the director of global construction for Citigroup. However, in 2015, he pleaded guilty to bribery and was sentenced to 6 years in prison.
And All right.
Fat Sam.
Listen, is Fat Sam from New Jersey? Because I'm looking at
new Fat Sam. Fat Sam looks like he should be on The Sopranos. Like the
because
new,
what yeah. I'll say is, listen, if you grow up in New Jersey, you always know somebody who, okay, they
Which
took a
did.
Bribe. They took a bribe. They didn't take a bribe. They spent some time in prison. They came out and we're all okay with it. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not to accept a bribe in New Jersey is kind of like just going to the corner store. It's not like that big of a deal. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I totally hear. Like, I'm going to tell you one more thing that is Babyface became a very famous director, directed Eddie and the Eagle, and co-directed the Oscar-winning Freddie Mercury biop Bohemian Rhapsody. Yep, and directed the Elton John movie Rocket Man.
Whoa!
So that
wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's Dexter Babyface Fletcher, yeah.
Great. Yeah, Babyface was great.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And then,
Babyface was great. Yeah, love Babyface.
Fizzy, the tap dancer, no one knows what happened to Fizzy.
I liked the song that like the mournful ballad that he had.
I love
where he's just sweeping up at the end of the night. I thought that was great. And then one of the dancers comes in and dances around him as he's singing. I thought
dance?
That scene
Yeah.
I thought that scene was gorgeous. I don't know what's wrong with me today, but I was like, yes, I'm into this.
I think it's like, it's sort of like looking at, like, I don't know, miniature dollhouse, or I wouldn't go to find it, but if someone makes the miniature dollhouse, I'd be like, I'm amazed at it. I wouldn't go seek it out.
Shots fired.
But you know
at the miniature dollhouse community.
I guess you just lost half your listeners.
Oh, I know. This is a lot.
Wow.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like I can appreciate the artistry of it. Like that was something that I feel like because it was made professionally and with intent. And yes, the kids are going to be all over the place. It's a whole movie of kids. So it's very hard. I was
really impressed, I guess, that there were no adults.
Yes, not like, even
there
like
was
a,
no
that's
no
right.
role, no part was played by an adult. There
just
was never an adult on screen.
Bigger kids, like there were like especially as extras, like there were some extras in the background of the
in the
Italian.
Boxing.
In the boxing.
In the boxing.
The we haven't talked about the boxing.
Oh, my God. The boxing ring.
We have a boxing scene.
Oh, my God. Or that kid whose answer to everything is nope.
Yes.
Are you a fighter? Nope.
The lyrics in these, like, I'm not, again, you know me, I don't go into miniatures and I don't go into musicals. But the musical numbers were interesting because they were very much not like what I'm feeling. It was just like what I, like, there was no... as if it was just sort of like I'm saying what I'm like.
No, they were text, not subtext.
Yes, exactly.
They were just text. They are expositional almost.
Yes.
You know, they are. Well, that's the thing. It's like it's a movie about kids for kids. So they
right.
I think they were like, you know what? We can't be coy about this. The songs need to be basically what they say, what they mean overtly, you know?
I mean, I do want to. Yeah. I'll play a little bit of the tap dance kid singing his song.
Tomorrow, as they say, another working day and another chore. Tomorrow, an awful price to pay. I gave up yesterday, but they still want more.
So my question is, I think the biggest misstep was having adult voices for the songs.
Yes.
And so that's not on them.
I agree.
Okay.
No.
Now, the other question is, would we have done away with all the songs? Would this movie have been more interesting had we just had it be the acting?
My feeling was I wish that this was not a musical because the songs were. And
that's where I checked out.
I bet kids. I fast forwarded a bunch of the songs. Once I got a sense of what the song was, I fast forwarded because I was like, these aren't necessary. I liked unless they were. I liked the, like, Jodie Foster. I liked the songs that felt like they were part of the, right, she's performing for the speakeasy type of, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, a song that feels to
diegetic
there
to the moment, you know? Those songs I would have been fine,
yes,
with. If there was, like, if there was two songs in the movie because they were being sung in the speakeasy or whatever, but the other songs I did not need, and because I don't like musicals, I found them distracting. And the fact that they were being sung by adult voices,
that's very bizarre.
Took me out of it.
When that piano player played his song, no, I was like, that is not his voice. It just, it's terrible. And it was, and just let the kids sing. Let the kids, because, well, I almost feel like,
because he was so good and he's, yeah, given us so much with his face, but then we're distracted by this. Like, and it wasn't even good singing. I don't know who this gentleman also, is.
But to me, I think the kids would have sung worse and it would have made the movie worse. So that's why I'm saying just take the songs out.
Take the songs out.
Right.
Yeah,
it seems like songs out.
By the way, it seems like that was, I mean, maybe coming off of Fame, and like he was like, oh, I want to. Alan Parker was like obsessed with this because at one point, like, he sang the songs for the producers. The producers like, yeah, so, you know, I think we should get you like a songwriter or something. Would you like to get a songwriter? Yeah,
right.
So, like, that's when they brought in Paul Williams, because like, to me, that even makes me laugh that he was so like, and then they're gonna sing and dance, and then he wrote his right own lyrics for these things. But I mean, wow, I
so
guess
crazy.
This is a journey that we've all gone on here with this movie. I mean, I think
I've really come stuff around to it. This
Jess,
was
can
the,
I ask you an important question? Would you show this to your child?
Never. Never.
Really? I thought about it for my kids.
I was going to ask, yeah. If you thought that your kids would enjoy it.
Listen, I could,
What's interesting is it's trading on tropes and archetypes that your kids, I bet, don't recognize.
No,
right.
They don't
but
know.
But that we as children recognized because those movies were being parodied,
like,
and lampooned
watched,
already.
Yeah.
That's right.
What our parents watched, but also what Bugs Bunny was impersonating.
That's
like
right.
Like Bugs Bunny would do gangster riffs like this, where he would make fun of Edward G. Robinson, or he would make fun of Scarface, or he would make fun of, you know, where he would those kind of tropes and those ideas were in our lexicon because they were both on TV on Saturday afternoons, you know, where you would watch old gangster movies, or you knew it from the cartoons that were using them as their inspiration that were from the 40s and
right,
50s, you know?
Well, I will tell you this much. I watched Goonies with my kids and they went bananas for it because the kids are the star of the show and that movie.
Like, yes.
And there was enough things that were adult that seemed like a little bit scary. Now, by the way, the opening of that movie was very problematic as like...
What happens in that movie?
Well,
Goonies, you mean?
Of Goonies. Yeah. Where the opening scene is Robert Davi, great James Bond villain, Robert Davi, starts to hang himself in jail. So he's like,
wow,
he's committed
that's
suicide.
Tough. That's
yes.
tough
and then
for a kid to watch.
A cop comes in and the cop's like, oh my God, this guy killed himself. And then he reveals that he's not killed himself. And then he basically beats the hell out of the cop and
that's
then
tough.
Escapes. And then they're running through the town. These robbers are escaped the town. And this is the moment that really stuck out to my 5-year-old. Chunk, very funny character. My kids do the truffle shuffle now. But Chunk,
oh my God.
As he grabs his milkshake, he sees this police chase and he runs up to the window, but he runs up so fast that he slams his cup into the window and it like spurts all over him. He goes, ah, shit. And then all of a sudden, my 5-year-old's like, ah, shit.
Yep.
Ah,
of course.
Shit. So we tried not to embrace it. Like, I did everything I could not to laugh at it. But at one point, he was literally taking June's mouth and opening it and closing it like she
That's
was a
funny.
Puppet and saying, ah, shit.
Making your mom into a marionette is funny.
To Kurt, yes.
A ventriloquist dummy is funny.
And making them swear. Yeah, and making them swear because that's the only safe way to do it is to make it come out of their mouth.
That's a solid bit.
Yeah, it's
that's
a solid
bit. And we have to recognize that.
Also, we have to recognize
that,
yeah.
That we were raised on such fucked up adult stuff.
Yes.
And look how we turned out. You know,
good.
we keep them very,
what,
very
good. We're good. Absolutely.
We're
the world has never been worse.
We're doing great. Okay. We're doing great. We could find anything on HBO at 2 o'clock
oh my God.
On a Saturday.
I remember I was watching Risky Business. I was watching
Risky
Business at Christmas
business.
Because my parents were in the other room having dessert. I was like, no one cared about what I was watching on HBO.
Nobody. Nobody cared.
This movie, I know I've been like, you know, really positive about it because I don't know. I just genuinely enjoyed watching the insanity that is this movie. Like, it was top to bottom, T to B, absolutely bananas. And yeah. I was just there for it. I was like, the version of bananas that this is, I'm here for. Like, this yeah. is, everybody's working hard. They've made it look pretty good. It is deeply bizarre and unsettling. Yeah. And to watch it now is even crazier than to have watched it then.
Absolutely.
But there was something I couldn't take my eyes off of it, as opposed to The Dirt Bike Kid.
Yes,
or
we've watched a lot of bad
some of the recent
movies.
Some of the recent things we've, or you know, Rad, or you know, movies that I enjoyed fine for the podcast, but this I was like genuinely like, huh, what a weird, this is a weird, like, this kind of is working on me.
And it flies by. I will tell you, it flies by. It's a quick, well, also because
especially
we did fast forward.
Especially if you're fast forwarding the musical numbers.
I will say that there was moments where I was like, I should have fast forwarded. Sometimes I'm too, I hold too true to this podcast, but I should fast forward the musical
numbers. Don't, Paul.
Yeah. Listen, it's not unspooled.
Yeah, I know.
right. Here's what I'll say, and this is going to sound crazy, but this movie is completely indebted to all movies you would do on Unspooled.
Absolutely.
Like, this movie is cribbing from the great 30s, 40s Hollywood gangster movies, the Howard Hawks movies. This movie is cribbing from the greats. And so that's, and Alan Parker is such a good director. I think part of what makes this movie work is that he's doing a lot of that for you.
Yeah.
You know, and then the kids part of it, again, to me just felt like a Wes Anderson weird move, which I very much enjoyed. Sorry, go ahead, Paul.
No, I was just going to say, I think we're saying it all. I mean, I was going to say that there are people out there with a different opinion, but we actually share this opinion. So now it's time for really, I mean, it's second opinions, but it really is the same opinion that you've been hearing.
The movie was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective. Second opinion.
So there are 80% of the reviews here are 5-star reviews. 5% are only 1-star review. And I'll just read a couple of them. They're very quick. Peter Rodriguez says, saw this as a child. Loved it. Scott Baio ended up being a complete douchebag, but this is a great movie with children acting as adults. Very well done. 5 stars.
Fine.
Yeah, fine. Nice. You know, he calls out the elephant in the room. And then... this is the one I just like, and I don't know if I'll be able to communicate it, but the capitalization on this is my favorite. Yeah, it's Kirch McConnellog, wrote this in 2019. I loved it when my kids were little in the 80s, and I loved it again last night. Perfectly acceptable for little kids. The guns shoot pie, and the and the cars are pedal-powered. 5 stars.
Yeah, I get it, man. You're talking my language.
I mean, and then it goes, this is...
there was a brief period early in the movie where I thought the guns were shooting eggs, and I didn't like it.
No, oh, well, that's your worst nightmare.
I mean, that would be the worst.
Yeah. You'll probably have that nightmare tonight.
And this is a weird one here, too, which is from Charles. Not Charles who's in charge, but just regular Charles. An old favorite of mine. I passed this on to my girlfriend's 10-year-old. He had a hard time getting into it, but he enjoys it now. Wow, like,
stepdad.
Yeah, like, you will like this. You will like
that's
this.
A tough
Gavin.
Entry. I don't think I choose that.
We're going to rewatch it. You didn't like the first time. We're going to rewatch it. You're going to like it. Trust me. You're going to like this.
And I do believe that there's something about Alan Parker where he thought maybe he could have made a whole series of these movies.
Like, did he make Fame prior to this or after this? I didn't look what year this
was.
You
know, I got to see what date Fame is. Fame came
out. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's not that
important. But, you know, now the people, Fame came out in 1980. So this is, so followed this, right? Because this movie comes out earlier than that.
You know what was a great scene too? Remember the barbershop kid? The details of the barbershop guy is, you know, is cutting the hair, and then he closes the door and they turn on the water.
Yep. He turns up the music.
Yeah. Oh, when he turns
and the
chair.
It was elegantly done.
Yes.
Elegantly
that's what I'm
done.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. He puts the hot towel over his face and then he just opens him up to the murder.
And there are some things where they cheat, but it still made me laugh. Like when they drive their pedal car through the barn and they only shoot the exterior of the barn and they come out covered in hay and chickens.
Yes.
I liked it.
There's lots of funny, smart stuff. And especially I enjoyed, even though it's very bizarre, that they're trying to do all the tropes of gangster movies, including exactly like the barbershop hit, like all these murders, like the cold open is a murder, and that they are kids portraying
adults.
gangland murders.
Yes. You know,
like that's very funny to me.
Let's just call it out. Like the end of this movie is a complete massacre. By the rules of the movie, everyone in this movie dies. And there's like we wipe off our face and we smile at the end, really? Like, it's like they're moving still, but the movie, like,
well,
the plot wise.
Don't Scott Baio and Blousey get away?
Oh, yes, they do get away, yeah.
Can I ask, though, because I know it's a love fest for this movie, but end, I was like, what?
People are
going to
be so annoyed.
By the way, now
I swung you guys in my favor.
This is Jason, though, to me. If Jason's like, you know what? I'm like, yes, it is really good. Like, I may get off this call and say, like, what the fuck was I thinking?
You're
going
to say to Dan,
movie.
Like, you know, there was, and Dan's going to be like, are you insane?
Yes, yes. No,
appreciate the artistry. I mean, I think you'd have to be,
I'm putting it in the rubric of what we do and watch. You know what I mean?
Yes.
What we are forced to do and watch. And it is just, it's so much more interesting to me to have watched this than so much of the other stuff we're forced to watch. Sorry, go ahead, Jess.
I didn't hate you, Paul. I never really blame Jason for the movies. Mm-hmm. I blame you. And I hate you during it because I think I'm a tired mother. You know, I don't have a lot of me time and I'm being forced to watch this shit, you know, with the trash can fires, et cetera. I did not feel that way about you. I'm annoyed with you for other reasons, but
sure,
not
of course.
That.
We'll get into it. A deep dive issues.
But I wanted to ask, though, about the end, because in the logic of this film, okay, I thought that when you get cream pied, you're dead. Okay, so then everyone gets dead and then everyone just decides to not be dead and to get along. Like I didn't understand. What were we learning?
I think I agree with you. I think for the most of the movie, we understand that if you get cream pied via either gun or a thrown actual pie, you are quote unquote dead. You are when all of Fat Sam's guys get double crossed and get murdered, they don't come around anymore because they're dead,
right?
You know, but that we don't ever see, so that the final massacre where the whole speakeasy erupts in everybody's got splurge guns, everybody else has regular cream pies, so it's they're just splurging and cream pieing and splurging and cream pieing all over the place, and it just turns into a fun food fight.
Well,
the vibe,
but I think
the vibe is like it's a final song and it's a food fight.
But the truth is, plot wise, the story is, and they all die, but they can't do a movie where all the children die. So they have to all just be like, and we are all, and you know what? This was all pretend. We had a good time. This is a pretend thing.
So
that's what it felt like. I realized there's a radio broadcast happening, but I think I was tuning out by then because it was, you know, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, because I think, and I do think maybe I'm giving too much to this movie, but I think maybe the point was, can't we all get along like kids? Should we learn something as adults from how these kids have learned?
Yeah, maybe
to put
we shouldn't be killing each other with guns.
Yes.
We should be having food fights instead.
Right. As the 11-year-old dressed as like a Cossack priest says, like, drop your cream pie and shake hands instead. You know?
Yeah.
I think that was maybe that's what it was about. But I was surprised by the ending.
We learned a lot about each other. We learned a lot about this film. I don't think we even need to ask the question. Will we recommend it? Because I think we've talked about it ad nauseum. You know, wow. I mean, what a thrill. What a thrill to get
watch really it just to see Jodie Foster's like Star Is Born. Like just watch it to
absolutely.
See that. Like a like raw
watch
talent
it,
in
watch
the
it.
Wild.
Yes. Watch it because you never. Here's the other thing is, and you mentioned Goonies, Paul, but Goonies Goonies exists in a world in which there are adults.
Absolutely.
This movie, again, exists in a world in which the kids are the adults. There are no adults. That's, I can't name another movie that exists like that. I can't tell you a movie that has children only in it and posits a world in which there are no adults. This is the only world.
Yes.
So that, to me, is... That, from a starting point, is bizarre and interesting. Like, that's that I found, like, just as a concept, kind of fascinating. You know?
I love it. And Jess, I'm so excited that you were here with us to talk about it. Anything that you want to
hear on Unspool?
Ah, yeah. Well, anything that you want to talk about, Jess, like, what do you want to tell people about?
I would love for everyone to tune into The Deep Dive, our new podcast that I have with June, that Paul continually tries to be a part of, to creep in,
to surprise us. Wow.
His name mentioned. It's like he can't stop making himself the focus. So if you want to hear about Paul's home life.
Oh, you're going to hear a lot about stuff. You're going to hear about my gift giving. You're going to hear a lot about it.
So, please hop over to The Deep Dive. You know, just check it out. I think even people who listen to your podcast who think, God, that's definitely not for me, give it a shot. Because I think we're going to find that post-pandemic or whatever we're in right now, we're wanting to feel some things. Okay?
I agree,
authentic feelings.
I really agree. I agree. It's a great show. It's a great show.
Okay.
Jason, what do you got?
I'll promote the new upcoming Star Trek animated show called Prodigy that I'm one of the voices on. It's coming on Nickelodeon soon, if not already. I'm not sure when this drops, but I'll throw that out there. And then I'll mention as well Ultra City Smiths on AMC, Steve Conrad's new show that I also stop motion animation show that I also am a small part of. That's a fantastic show. I'm going to shout out just two quick podcasts that I did recently. I was a guest on Mallory Rubin's show, The Ringerverse, and Jason Concepcion's new show called X-Ray Vision, both of which are fantastic.
I'm so excited you were on that.
Pop culture.
Yes. Oh.
So good. Both two of my favorite people to talk to about pop culture, about Star Wars, Marvel. We're talking about everything that we love, that we're watching, reading, listening to. Both of them are phenomenal. So check out those two shows, The Ringerverse and X-Ray Vision.
Awesome. I'll just quickly promote Star Trek Lower Decks, a show that I'm doing on Paramount Plus. I play essentially the chief engineer on that show, and there's a great story about my character and the fact that he has never had sex, and that's a full episode. Where
I could do a deep dive,
yes. if you will.
It's a very funny episode, and I won't even spoil who my mother is, but it's somebody that you will all enjoy as you watch it. I will let you enjoy that for yourself, and I want to talk about this one thing. I think it's really cool. I mentioned this on the mini episodes as well, but this is a really cool new service. It's called blackfilmarchive.com, and it's basically this amazing website that has these like historically and culturally significant films made from 1915 to 1979 about black people by black people that have really been lost. And so this has been this archive that has been building by these amazing creators to kind of get these films back into some sort of availability, streaming, and there's cultural context to each one of them. It's really, really cool. So that is just at blackfilmarchive.com.
That's awesome.
Cool.
All right. So thank you so much for listening. A big thank you to our producer, Cody, our engineer, Devin, our MVP, Molly, our movie producer who picks everything, Avril Halley, for pulling this out. And I have to give a tip of the hat to Paul F. Tompkins, who recommended this movie a long time ago. And I texted him while I was watching it and said, I think this movie would be up your alley. And he goes, I recommended this movie to you. So so there you go.
And then Nate cream pied you.
He did. He cream pied me and my whole family.
Oh, boy.
And
again, St. Clair Larry, you're going to need to look up the definition of that later.
You don't need it.
I'm in London right now, and I'm fairly certain cream pie means a different thing over here, but it's probably just as nasty.
Probably illegal in both places.
I will also just give a shout out to our researcher, Nate Kiley, and say head over to our t-shirt store, because I guess we have to get that t-shirt up. And a big thank you to everybody, Earwolf. And if you want to hear these shows commercial-free, you can sign up at Stitcher to hear the whole archive. And that's everything, because we only keep a limited number out behind the paywall. Tune in next week for a mini episode where you can come and dispute that we think this movie is great. Give me a call at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. Remember to rate and review the show. Thank you very much, Jessica. Thank you, Jason. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.